I said, God, I don't want to be like Marcus. Because they ain't nothing but hustlers and dealers and chasing money. And they had brand new cars, brand new. See, I grew up in prosperity. I grew up, they had brand new cars, brand new houses, the best of living. But they was crooks. They was thieves. They was robbers. They was stealers. They was manipulating. They was con artists. They knew how to make money. One of my uncles at 24 years old, he built a brand new house. He wore white collar shirts every day. But I said as a teenager, I don't want to be like him, because I knew he was a drug leader. I knew they was working for the police. I knew he wasn't going to prison and jail because he wasn't no good man. Come on, say amen. They had to pay the man out with some childish. Come on, say amen. And so I said, God, I don't want to be like that. Listen, there are certain things in your heart you just don't want to be like. Somebody say amen. And the way I see these preachers doing, I'm saying, God, you know I don't want to be like them. Come on, say amen. I want to be like Jesus. Y'all see it? Somebody say, stand fast in the what? Liberty. Somebody shout the liberty. So Paul say, I want you to stand fast. Amen. I want you to be free. Don't go back to the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to your yoke. And he knew the Galatians, their yoke was back to the law, back to certain ceremonies, certain rituals, and certain things they were taught. He said, no, don't go back to circumcision. So let's take this thing deeper. And he be not entangled with a yoke. What was your bondage? What was your bondage? When you received the message, well, did God, did he take the taste? And well, he took the taste of alcohol out of me. I used to drink Budweiser, Bush. That was a cheap man's beer. So I used to drink Miller High Life. I used to drink malt liquor. I used to drink 151 McCarty Rum. I used to drink my little wine and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? Once I got liberated, God took that lust, that bro, that desire for that wine, that whiskey, that beer. He took it out. Do I have anybody? I could go to 7-Eleven and walk right past the beer, all past the wine, and don't nothing draw me. Come on, somebody. Because why? I've been liberated. I've been set free. Whatever had you in bondage, if God set you free, you're not bound no more. Come on. So why should you go back to it? Why should people claiming that Christ has liberated them, set them free, why should they be going back? Why should somebody who come out of sin, who come to the fountain of blood, who been liberated and set free, now they said, I just gave it. I got to go back to pornography. I got to go back to the chat. I got to go back. No. You need to come back to Jesus. Come on, say amen. You need to come back to the cross. You need to come back and say, God, get the root of it out. God, break this show. Well, somebody give God a hand clap. I can't get no help up in here. If Jesus set you free, you shouldn't be going back. Come on, somebody. You should come on, tell neighbors, I ain't going back. I'm not going back. So what is the vision of the church? Come on, tell neighbors, say, neighbor, without a vision, where there's no vision, the people perish. Huh? Unless God's people have a clear understanding. Proverbs 29 and 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Unless in God's people have a clear understanding where they are headed. If you don't know where you're going, you finna get confused. If you don't know where you headed, if you don't have clear vision of where you're going, you finna be disappointed. If you don't have clear vision of where you're going, you finna get in a state of confusion. That's why you have to get your vision, your perception, your understanding straight first. You got to know God. I got the vision of the New Testament church. Where I'm headed, I came out of sin because one day I'm going to see Jesus. Come on, say amen. One day I'm going to see, I didn't get saved to come into church to learn the prosperity message. See, when I was in the world, I had money already. So I didn't get into church to learn how to prosper. I got into church because I was miserable with money in my pocket. I was miserable living the lifestyle I was living. So when I got saved, I didn't come to the church praying, God say, teach me how to get some more money. I came because I was miserable. I was tired. I was young and foolish and weary, worn out. I didn't like the lifestyle I was living. So when you get saved, I'm going to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got saved from sin. Come on, say amen. For he came to save his people from their sins. Anybody got saved from sin? You didn't have to smoke dip at you, but you knew you were a sinner. Come on, say amen. But when God saved you, you said, Lord, Lord, I'm not going back in that. Huh? So this is what Paul was saying. This is the vision of the New Testament church. We cannot go back. We can't get distortion. We can't get weary. We cannot let discouragement set in. If you do, it's going to hinder you. Huh? You got to get to the purpose, praise God. Let's go to 1 John 3:8. Let's understand the purpose of the vision. Let's understand the purpose. You gotta stay focused on your future lest you return back to your past. You have to stay focused on where you're headed. You say, Lord, I don't know. I know one day God, this old body going to lay down. But God, I'm going to be in your presence. Come on, say amen. Lord, I know ain't no question in my mind where I'm going to spend eternity. 1 John verse 3. 1 John the epistle 3 and verse 8, beloved. I want you to see the purpose of the vision is to stay focused on your what? Future. He that committed sin is of what, y'all? So you telling me he done made you free and you still practicing your old lifestyle? That's what I love about pastoring. That's why I love pastoring, because as a pastor, it's a dual office. It's a teacher too. And so you know from a pastor teacher, I know most of the people that go back in their sins and doing things they once came out, it's because they're inconsistent. All people that are consistent, all people that are faithful, all people that are committed to the work of God, you don't have to worry about them. I ain't never seen a baby, Sister Marsha. If you start feeding that baby and breasting it, then that baby take it off the breast and you start giving it baby food, don't mess around and give that baby some cornbread dipped in some collard green syrup, juice, and that baby, boy, that baby eat that stuff there, and you try to put that bottle, it'll spit it out. Oh dear, what them greens at? Come on, what that cornbread at? Boy, it's one thing about a baby. Once you get that baby off that milk and you wean that baby off that breast and you start getting that baby don't want no Gerber no more. That baby don't want no oatmeal. That baby want a piece of chicken. You get that baby a chicken. What that baby sucking on that you, where that chicken bone go, that can't no meat just a bone. Oh, it tastes so good. And boy, one thing about a baby, when a baby start growing and it start developing teeth, then it want to eat some real food. Come on, say amen. And I don't know about you, praise God. I refuse to go back to Gerber. Come on, say amen. I refuse to go back to a sugar tin. I refuse to go back to Pampers. I'm saying, God, listen, even a baby can come out of pad, the baby say, I feel boo-boo all on myself. I'm going to take this Pampers off. Come on, somebody. That child don't want to live in that. That child don't want to go back to garbage. What do you think about the people of God? Once you start eating the word of God and you start tasting the good word, and I found out that's where people have a struggle. They are not growing because they're inconsistent. They are not growing because they are not committed. They don't come to church to hear the word of God. They want to come here a personality. I got members just like that. They going to text me this morning. I wouldn't even text them back because I know they're full of religion. They are not going to come to church if I'm not there. Is pastor going to be there? I got my van parked in the church. I'm fooling everybody. I'm in the office. Come on, say amen. And I got so many bigger. They say, his van is there. He must be in there. They don't know I'm in Savannah. It's in Twin City. Because I got religion. Just folks up in there, they gonna come say, where Pastor Graham at? I'm trying to teach him, I'm not your savior. Come on, say amen. I'm just your leader, but I have other ministers here. Give them a chance. They don't have my fingerprint. They ain't got my voice. They don't have my personality. Don't just be in love with gifts and personality. Just be in love with the word of God. When you love the word of God, that means maturity is set in your spirit. Oh, y'all ain't saying that. Give the Lord a good hand clap here. Come on. People's just not going to grow in their walk with God if they keep practicing their old lifestyle. Come on, say amen. Pastor, I tried to quit, but I couldn't. No, you can. You got to do just like the rest of us. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may what? Grow. Growth is the only thing that brings your mind out of things. As you grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, you don't want to do things no more. You don't want to go back to your old ways. He that committed sin is of who, y'all? Now that y'all go to say, John, come on out and tell these people you wrote this, I did. He that committed sin is of the devil. That's what he said, didn't he? He said, you still practicing your lifestyle? For the devil did what, y'all? Sin from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was what? Manifest. Why was he manifest, y'all? To destroy the works of what? See, if the purpose of the vision is to stay focused on your future, not your past, to take victory over your environment and all your circumstances. You have to take victory over it. You have to look if something is irritating you, that's drawing you, you got to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. God, don't let me play with something to see where I'm at. Help me to run from it. And so we have people, they want to still, you know, say they saved and working at the casinos. Still claiming they saved and you're in the casino. I used to preach in New Orleans all the time. Preach in New Orleans in the morning, God poured in the afternoon, and the driver would drive me and Sister Grant. And he said, Grant, every time you come to town, folks quit going to the casinos. Come on, say amen. He's going, ain't but a few of y'all still preach against gambling. And I told him, no, son, I said, I was a gambler too before I got saved. I said, well, when you get saved, God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God begin to teach you, you can't play the casinos. Come on, say amen. You can't be in there playing crap, shooting dice, and playing blackjacks. Y'all might have quiet up in there. You ain't going to golf course in Ocean Spree because you want to eat some shrimps. You can go to Savannah and do that. Now, you want to go to the casinos and walk up there and see one thing about the casino. People don't tell you, when they get you hooked on gambling, it's just as like crack cocaine. When people get hooked on gambling, they can't stop that easy. It puts an addiction. And I've been to them in casinos. I've been to Harriet's. I said, Sister Grant, close your eyes. I don't want you to see. You see old people up in there sitting at the blackjack table, sitting at the playing the slots. Gambling. Man, I was just over in Canada, and we couldn't go into Canada. They wouldn't let Brother Al go into Canada. So I had to stay in the motel, and the casino was under the bottom. And when I wake up and we get ready on Friday to go to church, we see that place be so packed. I said, what's going on here? They said, man, they're giving a tub full of money away. They got a lucky pot tonight. And man, I seen old folks coming in with canes and walkers. Amen. They shaking everything. They trying to hit that blackjack. Come on. They trying to play the, and you know, bingo player. Y'all mighty quiet up in there. I hope we ain't got no bingo players up in there. And most people, they trying to win some money and don't want to. Keep trying to win that money. So everybody, let's get an old senior something to do. Let's roll them on down here and let them hit the bingo jackpot. Now roll on mama to church and put on the altar and say, God, save this backslidden America. Save our senators. Save our congressmen. Save these backslidden preachers. Mothers, God will hear y'all prayer. Praise it, God. Save these backslidden preachers. Yeah, God, like the truth. Say, God, you know you need to save these men. Come on. How many know we don't practice sin? Y'all ain't gonna shout with me? We don't practice sin. The Holy Ghost teaches, don't you do that. Come on, say amen. See, some people, they want to make excuses, but when you understand the vision, let's look at this Philippians 3. Come on, somebody. How many know we gonna have to learn how to stay away from certain things? Philippians 3. You can't hang around people. You hang around folks smoking cigarettes, you're going to start smoking. Now, all the cigarette smokers, when they ride with me, they can't smoke. Come on, say amen. So guess what you're going to do? You're going to get set free. Because see, what I got is greater than what you got. Somebody say amen. I tell people, praise God. When you teach people, see, now this church has got smoking lounges. Now, let's just tell the truth. Smoking is an addiction. It's a spirit of bondage. If God wanted you to smoke, he'd have put a chimney on top of your head. Come on, say amen. You got to understand, it's an addiction. It's a bondage. Let's call it like it is. See, something we don't want to call it like it is. It's a habit. Chewing tobacco. You know, I tried to chew tobacco one time when I was a little boy. I saw my granddaddy chewing that bullet of wood. And you know, when you're a little sinner, you're going to do what sinners do. Sin. Come on, say amen. So he put that tobacco down, and I sneak over there and cut me a piece and put it in my jaw. I didn't know I was going to get drunk. Come on, say amen. Swallow that tobacco juice, I'm dizzy, head all spinning, said, my God, what is this? But you know what? Hey, listen, you have to pray, God, deliver me from snuff, deliver me from tobacco. Come on. And you got old people. I was over in Louisville preaching, and I stayed at the mother house, and boy, I smelled them biscuits and bacon early in the morning, and I thought I was dreaming, y'all, but I wasn't dreaming. I woke my eyes up, and the scent was coming through the door. Come on, say amen. And so I said, I'm going to jump up. I'm going out here and get me some of these biscuits and some of this bacon. And when I get out there, mother would have a big old wad full of tobacco in her mouth. She would moan. Boy, she was low. I said, hey, mother. I said, don't swallow it, mother. Don't swallow it. Come on. Don't swallow it, mother. I said, don't do that. It's all right. I'm just a preacher. I ain't Jesus. Come on, save me. I'm just a preacher. But see, she knew. Oh, y'all, I caught her. There'd be mothers in the church, got white gloves on, got their little white hat thing on their head. They'd be helping them preachers serve communion. And then my mother lived out there by the airport, so they wouldn't buy no lottery tickets in town. They'd go to them 7-Eleven. Well, and I happened to stop by the 7-Eleven to get me ice. And there go mother still with a white dress on. She got her lotto tickets. I say, hey, mother, how loud did that call me, Pastor? And you know, full of lottery tickets. And see, when you get the Holy Ghost, he'll tell you, God didn't say play the lottery. He said bring your tithes and give an offering and bless the work of God. He didn't tell you to do all that. That's how these preachers lie. Come on, say amen. He won't tell the people. God ain't tell y'all to play no lotto. We had a boy just got killed, 23 years old in Fisher. He hit the lottery for $482,000. These boys thought he had the money at the house. He bought him a house, paid cash, had the three kids in the house. One of them ain't even his kids. It was his girlfriend. The boys came in and shot the door down with a shotgun. And he was in the house. He begged the boys, don't kill me. They had massive. They said, give us the money. He said, man, the money's in the bank. He said, get me bank card. Gave the boys his bank card. They still shot him in the head. Killed him. Murdered him. In front of they weren't even his kids. And it shook the whole town up. Somebody say amen. Because what you don't understand, playing with lottery, playing with stuff, the church people ain't got no business doing that. And that's we got to come out of these environments. Y'all got Philippians 3. Just give me two more scriptures and we're going to be out of here. How many receive it? We exalt. That's our vision. What do? We exalt the word of God. All right? We got to understand. When we preach Jesus, Jesus' revelation is building a multicolored church. It's a church of all nationalities, all races. It's not a white church. It's not a black church. It ain't a Spanish church. It ain't a Japanese church. It's a church of all nations. It's a church of all cultures. And that's what I tell people. Do not try to change people's culture. I like this church. Praise God. Because, you know, I love singing the old songs. Some church you go to, they don't want to sing the old songs no more. They're like, you're doing something wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. We still can sing them victory songs. I don't care because of the 21st century. We still can sing the old songs. Come on, say amen. And so you can't change people's culture. You got to let people be themselves. Is that all right? Now, there's some white folks can cook, too. I got some great white friends of mine in North Carolina. They throw down, you'll think they black. Come on, say amen. I said, mother, who taught you how to cook like this? Boy, this chicken tastes good. I'm chewing on the bone. Well, you know the chicken good when you're crushing the bones. Come on, say amen. And you got different nationality know how to cook. It took me a long time to adjust to the First Nation, but I can eat their food now. Come on, say amen. So you have to learn that people have different cultures, and we shouldn't try to change nobody's culture. Let them operate the way they are. Let them be themselves. Just teach them how to worship Jesus. Philippians 3, y'all there? Come on, what's the vision? The vision is we have to understand, children. We have to see clearly. If you don't see clearly, you'll get distorted. All right? Look what he said in Philippians 3 and verse 13. We understand we got to focus on the future. Everybody say the future. Not your past. Don't be looking back. There's one thing about the nature of God. He don't teach us to look back. He keeps us looking what? Ahead. It ain't what we have accomplished. It's what we have not achieved. We can't look back. We got to look what? Ahead. Y'all see it? So the church that operate in the present tense vision, she's not looking back. She's looking at how can we reach this generation? How can we reach these millennials? Well, I tell you one thing, you can reach these millennials if you get an altar and pray for them and leave them alone and let God save them. And God will raise up millennials and they'll know how to help us reach their generations. See, the recent millennials, you know, they ain't got no values. They ain't got no morals. See, the millennials, they ain't never read their Bible. You tell them to turn to the book of Habakkuk, Haggai, Zephaniah, Obadiah, Jonah. They said, where is it? Let me look in the concordance and find. They don't even know. Because we're in churches now, they don't even bring Bibles. I got a whole stack of Bibles. Even though we got electronic Bibles, iPad, and all the stuff, I still tell, when I say Pastor Bible, I tell them, give everybody a Bible. King James Version, because I don't want them to be saying, well, that's what the preachers say. I want you to know what I'm saying. But see, we have a millennial. They don't know their Bibles. They don't search the Word. Then we got so many translations out. They taking out so much stuff out the Bible. So we got a generation. They wasn't raised up in Sunday school. Let's give our little fuller kids a good hand. Come on, y'all. They still somebody taking out time to teach the children. You know, you can't hardly get no volunteers to teach a class. You can't get nobody. You know what? I have to teach the dark class. I got people in my church been saved 50 years. They say, I want to teach them Negroes because they're too hard-headed. I said, that's the reason why you should want to teach, because they're hard-headed. Because hard-headed folks learn better. Come on, say amen. See, I find out once you convince hard-headed folks, ain't nobody going to change them. Come on, say amen. So I attack them. I let them write your questions. Bring the hard answers to me. If I don't have it right then, I say, come back next Sunday. I'll be there to search it out, and I'll tell you the answer. Come on. Oh, look what he said, Philippians verse 13. Y'all ready? Brethren, I count myself not the one. Come on now. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you ain't achieved it yet. You ain't made it yet. You ain't walked down the streets of gold yet. You ain't seen to behold his eyes of oceans of love. You haven't seen him yet. So Paul say, I'm forgetting now. Now what did you do, bro? I ain't apprehended yet. He say, but guess what? But this one thing, everybody say this one thing, I what? Do. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to do this. See, there are some things you got to do. There are some things you got to participate in. There are some things you got to put your will in it. There are some things, so you got a lot of people, well, I want God to change me. I came to the altar, God didn't change it. You know why God didn't change it? Because you didn't open your heart up. Come on, say amen. See, if you get into the altar and open your heart up and say, Lord, change me. You know, that's what happened to me, Sister Shirley. They say, I'm going to give you some tenderizer. Grant, I know God done forgive your sin, but you ain't got the Holy Ghost, but I'm going to give you some tenderizer. They said, because if you take this tenderizer, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. Come on, say amen. So what was that tenderizer? They say Jesus. Woo, come on, somebody. They say, we're going to give you some tenderizer, Sister Marsha. Oh, don't say nothing else. Just say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. So that, they didn't know no better. They told me, just get on the altar. We don't want you to say nothing else. And I say, Jesus, Jesus. And I was down there saying, Jesus. And before I realized, I said, Daphne, come on, say amen. I was calling on my girlfriend. See, God knew Daphne still was in my spirit at the time. And they said, no wonder he can't get the Holy Ghost. He got Daphne still in his spirit. Come on, say amen. But you know, the minute I made that decision to give up that fornicate demon, and I said, God, get Daphne out of my spirit. Get this girl out of my heart. Get y'all, I want to tell the truth. God, get this fornicate demon off me. The minute I gave up that fornicate demon, I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking another tongue and the spirit. And guess what? I laid hands on my mother, and she still healed, come on, all this long time. So you can't tell me when somebody give up sin at the heart, God will come in. That's why it's so hard for a lot of people, because they still got stuff in their life. They don't want to willfully give it up. Come on, say amen. If you make a decision, I'm going to give it up. Forgetting those sins which are what? Reaching forth on those things which are what? Before, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we got to keep our eyes on the future. Can I help somebody? I want you to see this. I'm almost through. I want you to see this. Praise God. Go to Romans 6 chapter. Romans 6 chapter now. I want you to see this now. You got to keep your eyes on the future. You got to say, Lord, I'm striving. Because everybody gets saved from sin. Their goal is, Lord, I want to see Jesus one day. I want to serve you and go to hell. And that's why the Pope, the Catholic Church came up with purgatory. They had no explanation when people commit suicide where they will spend eternity. They couldn't explain it. But Peter already told us what Judas was. He already told us. He committed suicide. And so we have to understand that's not an easy turn. That's why we have to be prayerful. We try to tell people, don't take your life. Don't do it. Amen. And sometimes we know from a clinical standpoint, people get in depression. They get so depressed. They lose their will to live. Come on, somebody. The Bible declares the joy of the Lord is your what? Come on now. So we need to be concerned about lifting up people's spirits, lifting up their hearts. Because some people get an impression, how many know we ain't doing our job? You have to understand, they couldn't explain it why people commit suicide. They had no explanation for it. Come on, somebody. And they know Judas went out. See, when Judas gave what he did, Judas committed sin. He felt so guilty. He felt so bad. He went out and did what? Hung himself. He committed suicide. Because see, you don't understand. Judas was born to be the son of perdition. He could not help what he was doing. God let him be born for that purpose. And so Judas, my God, had to betray Jesus. That was his assignment. All the prophets had spoke about him. His bowels would gush out. Jeremiah saw it. Isaiah, they saw it. They didn't know who he was, but they saw there was going to be one that's going to betray Jesus. So Judas went out because he felt so bad and so miserable. But did you know, praise God, Peter committed sin, but the Lord told him, say, go tell Peter. Go tell him, meet me in Galilee. I know what he did. I know that what he did, he could not help it. He had to obey the fulfillment of prophecy. And what you don't understand, praise God, God has designed this thing. The church has got to go through the fire, whether she like it or not. Because the fire is the only thing can bring out the impurity. And that's what people don't want. They don't want to go through the fire. They say, don't let me go through the fire, Lord. But God say, that's the only way I can get the impurities out of you. That's the only way I can get you whole. That's the only way that I can bring deliverance. That's the only way that I can set you free. How many want to be set free? How many don't, praise God, you done made a decision in your heart. God, I'm not going back. Excuse me, just for the sake of time, because time is running out, and I only got about 5 minutes to finish it. I want to go to 2 Peter 2 and close right here due to the sake of time. You can write Romans 6:23. How many know God does love us unconditional? Jesus has fixed it so man you could have eternal life. Huh? And so since we know it's the will of God for us to have eternal, how many know that's what salvation is all about. Salvation is all about sharing the message of Christ to the people to let them know, praise God, God want to bring deliverance in your life. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have abundant life in this life and eternal life to come. God don't mind us having things. He just wants the things to have what? Us. He don't want our blessings to get in the way of his relationship. He wanted to say, Lord, you bless me, but still, I've got to be on my post. I still got to be a deacon. I still got to be an elder. I still got to be a minister. I still got to be a deaconess. I still got to be an elder. I still got to be on my post. No matter what God bless us materially, it don't change our status in his kingdom. We still have to be faithful stewards over something else we don't even own. We have to be committed. We can't get to the place. But Lord, I'm blessed, so I'm just going to enjoy my blessing. I'm going to the beach. No, come on to church. You got to know when God bless you and prosper you, you ought to be the, listen, somebody said, why you pray so much? Because I got so much. God has blessed me so much. I know it's so easy to miss a step. And brother, I don't want to go back where I started at. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm saying, God, I got to be more careful now. The older I get, I have to be more wiser and more careful because I don't want to be foolish at the end like Solomon. I want to be like Solomon. In the end, he messed up everything. Amen. Y'all got 2 Peter 2. I want you to see this now. 2 Peter 2. Now look at this. Verse 21. But it had been better for them not to have known the way of what? Come on, y'all. See, when you know the way of righteousness, you can't. Ain't no sense you trying to play crazy. It's better for them to have not known. Now God say, I didn't give you revelation. I done gave you the mystery. I done gave you an understanding. And guess what? You can't play crazy now. You can't pretend that you don't know now. Because God say, I ain't working at ignorance no more. He said, I made known unto you the way. Now listen, many people don't know the way of righteousness. They don't know the ways of God. But God say, I have made known unto you the way of righteousness. I've showed you the standard. Jeremiah told him, he said, whatever you do, don't remove the landmark. Don't move the boundaries. They already been set. Because if you move the landmark, you get on somebody else's property. So you have to understand that. He said, but they have known, but it, he said, for it had been better for them to have not known the way of what? Righteous. Than after they have known it to turn from the holy what, y'all? He said, you can't turn from the holy commandment that's been what? Delivered unto you. See, God say, the reason why God gave the commandment, it wasn't so much to set no rules up. God gave the commandment so they could know how to conduct themselves and they couldn't go out of these parameters. He said, look, I'm giving you these Ten Commandments, Moses. Tell the children of Israel to govern their lives around them. Now, they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, tell them this is what they do. And in the New Testament church, we see these Jewish apostles who had the Holy Ghost, who understood Hebrew, understood the Penitentiary of the Old Testament. They still teach us. He have delivered unto us what? The commandment. He delivered it unto us. He have taught us the Torah. He taught us from the old scriptures. He taught us the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he have anointed me to preach you the good tidings. Glad time. So they understood. What did John the Beloved say? He said, look, the commandments of God are not grievous. Yes. Why do preachers today, they have a problem when we say we preaching the commandments are just showing you love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Because see, when you start studying the commandments of God, it'll show you what idolatry is. It'll begin to identify 6 days you ought to work, and one day is the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is the Sabbath is holy unto. See, that's why we don't want to teach the commandments. That's why most people don't want to get in the commandment. Because when you start getting the commandment, you can't throw the Sabbath out. When you get in commandments, you can't have a new Sabbath. Oh, y'all quiet here. Everybody preaching this Jubilee, why they ain't preaching this Sabbath? Everybody preaching this prosperity, why they ain't telling you to go back? Because they're saying Jesus is the Sabbath. Jesus is the Sabbath, but you got to understand the Sabbath day is a day that was set aside for your body and for your mind. Because God already knew me and you would work 7 days a week. Y'all mighty quiet, New Testament. This is what they taught in the New Testament church. They took them aside every Sabbath and they taught them the word of God. Paul didn't come out first teaching them Gentiles that, but when they grew and matured, he set pastors and leaders and elders in the church, and they taught them the whole counsel of God. Is that not what he said in the book of Acts? He said, I taught you the whole counsel. I didn't withhold it from you. Because once you teach people, they don't have to believe the commandments. What they're really out there to show you, don't believe that Sabbath. That's the only one they have to struggle with. They don't have to struggle with the other nine. Just don't believe the. And that's what all our preachers, they'll tell you, Jesus is our Sabbath. You got to understand, the Sabbath was not made for man. Man was not, but it was made so man could rest for his body. The Sabbath was made, not man for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for the man. Because God already know we got habits. He already know our habits are organized. We have addictions. He already know, praise y'all, we like to work. Especially we get double pay on Sunday, come on Satan. They ain't even keeping the Sabbath on Sunday. You can't, Sunday's the first day of the week. Look at your neighbor, say neighbor, don't believe what Grant say. Go search it out yourself. Because that's what happened to me. I was just like you. I didn't believe it. I said, I got some of you Sabbath keeper. See, you got to be holy 7 days a week. Well, I knew all the scriptures too. Boy, there ain't no new moon nor no Sabbath. I knew them all. But I made a mistake, brother. I went back to Genesis 1, so I'm going to read the whole Bible. And I went and got my concordance. I studied every word say Sabbath. And when I started studying that Sabbath, I started really, God, somebody done lied to me. Come on, say amen. I got stuck over in Isaiah. I said, wait a minute, this Sabbath is right. Isaiah telling me I ride on the high place of the earth. He was telling me that I'm become a spiritual Jew now. And that's what the Jew is still to this day. I don't care if they're Orthodox. I don't care what type of Jews they are. They still keep the Sabbath. See, we want to get the Jewish to leave where the shawl. But them Jews, they still go on, them Orthodox Jews, they still go to the wailing wall every Friday when the sun go down. But you know what I found out? When you start searching the word, then you'll find out, God said, remember the Sabbath and keep it. Y'all still believe that? Do anybody believe that besides me? Anybody still believe the Bible? Why y'all ain't shouting then? We're just a New Testament, so we ought to be shouting. Anybody still believe the Bible? I was just like most people. I didn't believe in no Sabbath. I said, I'm going to tell these Sabbath people they confused. And I did just what Jim Becker did. I went to read my Bible day and night. And went to trying to prove they was wrong. And I got convinced they was right and I was wrong. Come on, say amen. And so I switched. I said, God, I can't. I told my other preacher, I said, man, we done messed around. I done found the truth. I said, I done searched this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I said, you got to understand, when you get in the Sabbath, that's why nobody don't want to teach the commandments of God. It ain't about the commandment, because they know when they get to that commandment, that I should remember the Sabbath day and keep it. They don't want to read that. So they say, let's do away with the commandments. Take them out the White House. Take them out the Supreme Court. Take them out the schools. Take them out our judicial system. Take them out the church. Come on, somebody. Take it out your home. Take it out your Bible. Now, that's what our preachers are doing. They say, don't believe this in your Bible. Don't believe it. Even though it's there, don't believe it. You don't have to remember no Sabbath. You ain't got to keep it. You ain't got to believe all that stuff. Don't believe that. But how many going to believe the Bible? Come and look at your neighbor. It's a neighbor. He finna close to this last scripture. I'm finna show you now. Look at this. To turn from the holy commandment to live it under them. He said, don't turn from it. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb. Y'all still with me? The dog is what, y'all? Huh? Turned to his what? So you telling me that the person that once come in God can return back to his own vomit? You telling me that a person once got saved, once received the Holy Ghost, once became a part of the things of God, because they don't continue to stand fast in the liberty. They don't continue to be steadfast. They don't continue in the thing of God. Listen, anything that ain't moving, it's going to get hit. Anything that's not going forward and progressing and pushing forward, it has a chance of flipping over. So here the writer is telling her, he said, whatever you do, don't be like the dog going back to his vomit. You can't do it. Come on, somebody. And you can't do it. What else did he say? Come on, y'all. The dog is turned to his own vomit. And the sow that was washed to her own wallet in the world. Look, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, if God brought you out, don't go back. You can't go back and betray what you used to be. Come on, somebody. How can we that are in God go back and do these stuffs all over again? Let's close with 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 2. Stand on your feet soon as you get it. 2 Timothy 2. That's cool. Anybody enjoying the vision of the New Testament church? We realize we can't return back to what God brought us out. We have to tell people, you have to learn. That's why when we teach people how to rest, how to relax, how to calm down, how to get focused. 2 Timothy, y'all there? I want to close with this. You can stay on your feet as soon as you get it. We're going to close right here. Am I helping anybody today? So we believe in a multicultural church. We believe that God loves all people unconditional. When people come to Jesus, they got to come just as they are. But I don't know if you come as y'all, you ain't going to stay as y'all. When you come to Jesus and you come and give him your life. And that's what I told you. You have to be consistent. The Bible say that faithful man shall abide with blessing. There's always a reward in being committed to something. We're involved in something right now. And what it is, Sister Shirley, they tell us, I'm going to show you the difference between the committed and the interest. A lot of people interest, but they ain't committed. Interest people, they fade away. Come on, say amen. Committed people, they don't matter what. They're going all the way. So you have a lot of, I'm interested. I'm interested, but they ain't committed. Come on, somebody. So we know, God said, no, I brought you out. Don't go back. Come on. God brought me out of St. Martha Baptist Church. I grew up in the Baptist Church. I was smoking dope, going with the sisters in the choir. Getting high, drinking whiskey. I saw the deacons drinking whiskey. Deacon Cummins and Deacon Allen's and my granddaddy, they had a little whiskey bottle under that step. So me and one of the deacons saw John Cummins. That's how we learned how to drink, following the deacons. Amen. We see them going out the door, and we see them stoop down there, praise God. And they getting, you know, we was teenagers, they get that little whiskey. And they come out, oh Lord, the Lord, and everybody shout us, let me try too. Come on, say amen. So boy, me and John come, we were little teenagers. We went right on back behind that thing. We got the little buck, we hit it, it was so strong, we put the top back on. And we got up in the church, we were shouting to, woo, I got it. Come on, say it. I'm full of spirits, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. I'm full of a spirit too. Woo! I feel the spirit. Woo! But that whiskey had me shot out. Look, I was full of demons. And you know what I said? I ain't never leaving this church. This, I'm going to like my grandma. That's why I'm going to die at. Because the preacher told me no matter what I do, I couldn't lose it. But that was good news back then. Come on, say it. I said, this is the kind of church I'm going to be in. I can smoke my pipe. Boy, I get up under, I used to smoke marijuana. I get up under the mask. I would just hit, I had a big old mask. We put it on foot. I'm going to church on Sunday. Woo! Praise God. Full of demons. Come on, say it. Full of the devil. And I was smoking marijuana. And I was smoking cigarettes, man. I had my cools. When I didn't have no money, I smoked some Prince Albert too. I tried to smoke a little rabbit tobacco, but I couldn't take that. Come on, say amen. Because why? That's what sinners do. Sinners do what they see other folks do. Come on. And that's why I didn't want to stay with my mother. Why didn't I want to stay with my mother? Because she had the Holy Ghost. She went to a holiness church. And that holiness church, them preachers, they preach so hard to make a bald head man hair stand up on his head. Come on, say it. And so I ain't want to go to no holiness church. I ain't want to be around nobody like that. Too much restrictions. I want to go where I can live like I want to live. Come on, say amen. And say it loud. Dun, dun, I'm black and I'm proud. I ain't want to be in no holiness church. Come on, say amen. And boy, and I know that's where I got stuck at. I've been in holiness ever since. God say, holiness is the way. Come on, somebody say amen. Ain't it since you're running from holiness, it's still right. Anybody still believe holiness is right besides me? I want to close with this 2 Peter 2, y'all there, verse 1. Therefore thou, my son, be strong in the grace that is in whom? Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast what? Heard. Somebody say, what? Heard of me. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to, everybody say, faithful men. That means some women's too. Come on, say amen. We got to commit this stuff to faithful men and women. Y'all see it? Who shall be able to teach who? Other. Look, if you don't know what you believe, how can you teach somebody else? You got to be taught so you can know what the vision of God is. So when somebody try to twist the word of God, you still can smile and say, now, let's go to the Bible. Come on, say, let's have a dialogue. Is that all right? Amen. Therefore, everybody say, endure hardness as a what? Good soldier. He said, now look, you teach others also. They got to endure hardships. They got to go through hardness. It don't matter what state you're at in your life. Don't worry about your trials, your tribulation. Payday is coming at the wild. Come on. It's going to pay off to serve God. It's going to pay off if you be faithful to the end. Come on, y'all. He said, no man that warred entangle himself with the fowls of this what? So Paul was steady preaching. No matter who you are, when you learn the ways of God, you're a soldier. You don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. That's what God brought us out of this life. He brought us out of all that's in the world. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the lust of a pride of life. That's all in the world. Come on, somebody. You didn't wear no, you weren't wearing a hot dress for nothing. You wanted somebody to see what you had on. Come on, say amen. Look, when people do things, they do it for a purpose. God said, look at you now. I done took it out your heart. Come on, say amen. Don't be ashamed of being saved. Anybody gonna wave a hand at me? Praise God. Anybody gonna shout with me? Huh? He said that he may please him who had chosen him to be what? A soldier. Somebody shout, I'm a soldier. Oh, close your Bibles up. Come on. That's the vision of the New Testament church. We are soldiers. We endure. We don't murmur. We don't complain. We know who we believe, what we believe. Come on. We don't believe in this revolution message people's plan that people can, one preacher get up and they can, no, you ain't going to continue to see it. When God saved you, he wants you to know how to stay out of that. Come on, to stand on your feet and give the Lord a hand clap. I'm going to pray for you. Come on, somebody. I'm closing now. Come on, give the Lord a praise. We don't go back at what God brought us out. Come on, y'all. Let's give him a praise. We don't go back. We don't go back and sin. We don't go back living them lifestyle. We don't go back doing the stuff we used to do. God done brought us out. Now he said, teach others. Teach others. Teach others. Lift your hands up to God. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is the vision of the New Testament church. Jesus, you said in St. John 14 and 6, you say you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by you, Lord. God, we're not preaching no other way. We're telling people, you got to take up your cross. You got to follow Jesus. Lord, I know that some things that I've been researching, it, when you told me to preach against London and England and preach against these three stars that's in Washington, D.C., God, that's in the District of Columbia, that you said to Washington, God, where the Supreme Court is at, God, where our Congress is at, where the Pentagon is at, God, with the military power that people look to America to be the military superpower of the world, God, because of technology. God, when they look to London because it's the financial capital of the world. God, some of the greatest, God, some of the wealthiest men in the world, that's where they at, God. Coming out of the international London, Lord, out of England. Lord, when you told me to reveal, because that's where the Masons are at, their headquarters and Freemasonry and so many things. Then people are going back, they're playing with the Vatican. Playing with Rome. God, you say stand fast in the liberty. God, you freed us from religion of men. You freed us from the bondages of sin. You took the yoke off our neck, God. You brought us out of the world systems, God. You've given us revelation of your righteousness. You taught us a standard of godliness and how to live sober, righteous in this present world. God, you told us to come out that whore. You told us to get away from that spirit of Jezebel. That spirit of rebellion and witchcraft and stubbornness and disobedience. And God, we're not playing around, God. God, we're not playing around, God. We recognize we got to take people back to you, Lord. You're the only Savior. Can't nobody else save them. Can't nobody keep us but you, Lord. God, don't let us go back. God, I know sometimes people go through disappointments and they want to lay back and watch television. But Lord, you told me to search my Bible. You told me if I want to know you, I have to stay in this perfect law and liberty. You told me if I want to know you, God, I got to search the scriptures night and day. Because, Lord, you let me know, God. Television was not meant for what people are doing for. God, because now TV ministers, God, everybody's on television trying to get the crowd and the masses. And, God, I know there are people in the hospitals, in the nursing home, who can't come to the house of God. And God, ministers can come in there and minister life to them people and give them hope, God. But God, it was not designed for the body, God, to split the body up. It was not designed, God, that the church could be in division on what she believed because what somebody say. But we need to know what the word of God is for. We thank you for these super internet. We thank you for these technology. We thank you for the tools you've given us for evangelism. But God, don't let us forget the most important two, not to forsake to assemble ourselves together. Not to forsake gathering into the house of worship, God. Not forsaking and praying for one another and loving one another. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, let us stand fast in this liberty. God, I know what I'm speaking out against is not popular, Lord. Because God, they brought that glorified eternal security message in the church. They brought Carlton Pearson brought that message in of inclusion. And now, God, we see men that tampering with it, telling the people they don't have to believe the commandments of God no more. Tell them it's not so that we got grace. Grace covered all. But, God, we got to get our message straight, God, because it's not one portion of the scripture. We got to believe all the portions of scripture. God, you said that these kinds come by fasting and prayer. You said when the bridegroom is taken away, then shall they fast and pray in those days. Lord, you told the early apostles, they set the example. They went to the temple at the hour of prayer every day. God, they was not out there hitting golf clubs and out of there playing tennis. And we know a lot of things you've given us liberty to do, and it's not sin. But God, we have to keep our priorities right. We have to tell the people we have to be consecrated. The apostles couldn't forsake the word of God. They had to stay in prayer, and they taught the doctrines and the teachings of Jesus. Those who had the real revelation of you, they knew the mysteries of God. They knew the wisdom and the manifold wisdom of God. And Lord, they didn't play around when Constantine came in trying to emerge the church and take it another direction, God. These men stood up in the catacomb. They stood up in history. And Lord, some of them, God, they was martyred and killed. And they laid the line down. They fled to nations of the world. And they continue to preach the gospel. Lord, they may kill the goose, but they can't kill the gander. Lord, the word of God, you still have a people. God, I've never seen so many ministers, God. Lord, they bow it down to this Catholicism. I've never seen so many of them, God. They don't want to speak out against it because they don't want to bring an uproar. They don't want to bring an uproar. They don't want to bring a division. But you said you come to bring a war. You come to bring the vision. You didn't come to bring peace. You come to bring sword. You come to set it man at barricades. You come to let us know there is a difference, Lord. There is a difference between the clean and the unclean. There is a difference between the foul and the profane and the unfiled, the foul. There is a difference between that which is holy and unholy. There is a difference, God, between that which is ungodly and unrighteous and righteous. There is a difference between light and darkness. There is a difference between these things, God. And you said, come out of her. Come out, be not partaker. Touch not, taste not, Helena. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm not preaching to try to pin nobody down. I'm just opening up what you showed me. We've got to stand for what's right, lest we fall for everything. God, in the name, come on, just lift your hands right where you're standing. Lord, I pray that you give them dreams. I pray you give them vision. I pray that you help them to do like I've did it many times. I search that word all night long sometimes. I search it and I go to cry until my eyes go to hurt and get so weak and so watery. But I still search and say, God, don't let me turn from your holy commandment. God, I'm not following me and I'm following the word of God. God, I don't care who it is, Jew or Gentile, black or white, Lord, in the word, they got my prayer. Lord, I know they're going to be those we don't understand. You're using them, and we're praying for them, God. But at the same time, I'm not backing up on the teaching, Lord. You said prepare to meet your God. We got to be prepared, God. We got to be soldiers. We got to be ready to meet our soon coming King. And Lord, we know the church has assignment in the earth. We know the church, God. You said don't hurt the wine. Don't touch it, God. Don't touch the tree until you see your servants in there. For you say, who are these? John said, these are those that came out of great tribulation. They had their robes made white in the blood of the Lamb. God, you're going to have a people. God, how could the church be in heaven when John saw her going through the great tribulation? When he saw she had robes, when she saw she had palms in her hand, when he saw an unnumberable number that no man could count. Lord, we don't understand everything, but we do believe the word of God. We do believe the word of God. We do believe that John saw that holy city. He saw that new Jerusalem coming out of heaven, prepared as a bride for a bridegroom. He saw her coming, God. Lord, we are that bridegroom. We are the people. We are the bride of Christ. We are the ecclesia. We are your church. You're getting ready for that great and notable day of the Lord. God, if there's anything in our hearts and in our lives, God, we all been taught different things, but we have to get back to the basics. Lord, I'm not a double-minded person, and I'm not ashamed of what I believe in. I believe the Sabbath is right, God. Lord, we have to drive hundreds of miles, me and my wife, just to go fellowship with other saints on the Sabbath. God, I believe that gathering and keeping your commandments is right, because the commandments is your statute, is your law, God. It's your word. It ain't my word. It wasn't Moses' word. It wasn't Peter's word. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't John. It wasn't the new old prophets of old word. It was your word they spoke. And God, we can't do away with the prophets. You say, believe in the prophets and you shall prosper. Believe in the Lord and you shall be established. You said you'll do nothing except you reveal your secrets to your servants, the prophets. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a good hand clap. I know the hour's getting late. Come on, somebody. Give him a good hand clap. It's all right. It's all right. Come on, give him a good praise. Amen. I'm going to take just a few minutes here today. Do anybody need special prayer for anything right quickly before we change the order of service? I know I've gone over my hour, but it's all right. Somebody say, man, I know sometimes the preacher may preach longer than he intended, but praise God. Come on, Brother Scott, hold this for me, my brother. If you need special prayer, we're going to pray for you. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all don't know what the vision is. I'm trying to make you understand. We are New Testament. And we believe in Jesus. How many still believe in Jesus? Y'all still believe in Jesus? That's what makes us so different. Praise God. And Father, you know what she's standing in need of. Lord, you told us anoint them at all. And you told us to pray the prayer of faith, God. Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for your name's sake. Grant this petition for your glory, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you paid for it all, Lord. God, you said if we come to the throne of grace, we can come boldly. We may find and obtain grace and help in the time of need. We come into your throne right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you that we come in agreement with her with this petition, God. Grant it to her, Lord. You see her hunger. You see her thirst, God. You see her desire, God. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Peace be upon you right now. Peace be upon you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, I give you peace. He said, I'm the Prince of Peace today. God said, rest in his spirit, in his presence. He going to fight your battle. Shalabakosheke. Peace be upon you. Shando robo shakara. Oh, somebody come on and praise your Lord. Come on and praise God. God, thank you for the woman of God today. You know what she have need of even before she asked you, Lord. Lord, we anoint her with all and we pray the prayer of faith. I come in agreement with the Lord. God, you open doors that no man can close. God, use it in her latter years. God, in her heart, she've always just wanted to do more for you, Lord. From a young lady, just wanted to do more for you, God. God, grant her petition, Lord. God, grant her petition. Give her the strength, God. Give her the energy. Give her the vitality, God. Give her what she desires, Lord. Open doors and make ways. Move in a special way. God, for our loved ones, God. Move in our soul. Move in the realms of a being, God. Move, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, give a new outlook. Give a new perspective. In the name of Jesus. Shakata, thank you for her and her husband. Bless her family, Lord. Shidarabaya. Somebody come on and worship him. Oh, it's all right. It's all right to worship God. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I anoint her with all in the name of the Lord. And I pray for the illness, Lord. God, you give a divine touch in her body from the top of her head to the very tip of her toes. God, you strengthen her in her soul and her being, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I decree and I declare right now in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, grant her petition. And whatever she's trusting you for, let it be so. In the name of Jesus. Somebody lift your hand with me and say, it shall be so. Come on, somebody. It shall be so. It shall be so. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, I anoint your servant with oil, Lord. God, you called him. You chosen him. And God, help him to make his calling and his election sure, God. Help him to abide in his calling, God. Help him to go out and preach good news. Heal the sick and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, you work it out. You know all things work together for the good. Lord, I pray you touch his body. Touch his body, God, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet and use it for your glory in these last days. I agree with it. Whatever he's trusting you for, let it be so in the name of Jesus. Somebody come on and clap your hand and give the Lord a praise over it. If you believe God with me, come on, somebody. If you believe God with me, amen.